Hello and welcome to episode 202 of Checkpoint Chat, which sounds very small, but it's quite big. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined, as always, by Matthew Figuera.
That was quite an explanation. It sounds small, but it's big.
It was so few syllables because I'm so used to 170-something.
Now it's just
202. It's like, oh, yeah.
We've hit great. That milestone. We've reset. This is a... The season refresh.
Mm.
It's episode 2. I've wondered if we'd ever do that. I don't think we would, but I know when we publish, you basically choose, I think it's like season 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On Anchor, they always ask you for a season and then an episode number. I'm like, this is always going to be one. Yeah.
Yeah. We're running for a record on longest running season here. Call us, Guinness.
I genuinely have no idea what it would do when... You know, say I push it as season 2, like what it would do on like Apple or Spotify. Because like Serial and, you know, all the crime podcasts, they have separate seasons.
Yeah.
And they come so up as separate products.
Does it create a whole separate thing? I'm sure it does.
Probably, yeah. Because it probably encodes something on the RSS metadata that... I'm not going to try.
Let's not do that.
We just have the whole of Checkpoint Chat under one thing and then there's just a random episode on this new... Yeah, no, let's not do that.
Regular listeners like, I guess they finally quit.
Yeah. One of them has split off and just made his own podcast and just called it the same
thing. His own band.
Yeah.
We had creative differences. We decided that I get to keep the checkpoint, you keep the chats.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And then our video feed is just like, I have video on the left and nothing on the right and you have it flipped.
My God. Yeah.
Just talking to yourself.
It is like a blank screen.
you could put a cam on like you Lupin yourself. Sleeping and just like you chatting to games.
I could 100% do that. It looks something like this. If I could have the floor for 1 second, how would I do this? I need to duplicate this. So I control C and I control V this, right?
Oh my goodness.
And then I do this. Hold on. Let me just unlock this. Oh boy, here we go.
So now,
but hang on, so I just gotta, yeah. So, if audio listeners, if you can't see what's going on, yeah, I've copied the podcast.
It's just duplicated. Matthew's just podcasting with himself right now.
Oh, like here's the coup de grace. Bam.
Man,
just me talking to myself.
It's so weird because your hair is like a completely different like angle now. It's like
and you do things like this, like
just give yourself a.
Man, that is a great review. Thanks.
I agree with your opinion wholeheartedly.
This is why I get to produce the show.
Yeah, the live production is actually more
fun. Shenanigans.
Yeah. I'm just checking that my cats haven't like thrown themselves out of the window. Yeah. Okay, now I still got two cats.
Now I wish I had
another
because now I've realized your window is slightly to the right. Let me just adjust that there. That
looks a bit better. Oh, just ever so slightly. See, this is live production. That's why you get paid triple.
Oh my God, but now there's a white border there.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, no. Put it back to what it was.
Anarchy has ensued on the video feed here.
Audio listeners, be grateful. You're having the best time.
Yeah, your audio is pristine. Constantly pristine. You never have flipping windows or flipping microphones. You're never switching to mono or surround sound like indiscriminately. Matthew's now having a heart attack because he doesn't know what he's done.
God damn. Oh, there you go.
He's a perfectionist. So there's like one pixel of white border and he's like, nah, gotta fix it.
Exactly. There we go.
It's been a scorcher of a week. Unbelievable heat here in Joburg. If you are not familiar or do not live here, I guess if you live in Durban, this is like winter for you. Maybe I don't know.
Are you it's a bit cold. Like,
this is Durban weather, just really minus the humidity, because it is like the dryness of the heat is. Oh, it's murdering.
It's crazy, and we're not getting rain apparently until November. Elias?
Till November. Oh my God.
Yeah. Hate to see it.
I really worry about drought season with shit like that, you know, when it's like that long. Anyway, I mean, there are portions of Joburg that have like your water shedding already, which is just like
Yeah, which is
real
wild. It's y'all think load shedding's bad.
Yo, having no water is a whole other deal.
That is something I do not even want
to. And the sorts of things that breaks, because pipes are super not designed to like not have water going through them. They are constantly needing a certain water and at a certain pressure, because that's how they were designed. Like, it leads to so many problems. Oh, in this kind of the same way as load shedding, with our power grid isn't designed to be turned on and off so frequently. So that's why we have things just exploding spontaneously. So it's great. It's real good right now. Oh, what's going on?
This is the sun.
This podcast is 10 degrees hotter now.
It's 10 degrees hotter.
What sun is that from? That almost looks like something from Legend of Zelda. Like
I don't know. I just Googled sun PNG and here we are.
It almost looks like a cube with like light, like an object of power from some video game. Like you'd get that 3/4 into it and now you have the thing that's needed to kill the boss.
Power of the sun.
Power of the sun, yeah. Solar panels.
Yep.
Wielding the power of the sun.
This is a hot podcast.
Here's a question. Is the Master Sword actually a solar panel sword? Because it is charged by the moon and the sun in Breath of the Wild.
So whenever Link has to fight Ganon, just goes outside.
So I can't fight Ganon today. Load shedding.
God, I hate
when the blood moons out, can't use the Master Sword. Done.
This is why Zelda's not based in South Africa. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, just absolutely the Master Sword would be completely useless. He'd put it into the little stone to charge and nothing would happen.
Yep. Then he gets on Twitter. He's like, listen, Eskom.
This is actually what Tears of the Kingdom is about. They've lost power.
Oh my God.
The kingdom is crying.
Tears of South Africa. I can't believe it. This is too real.
Anuma came here to South Africa. He's like, I've got my next idea. This place is suffering.
My God.
My God.
I'm trying to find one more thing to add here. What do you call it? I'm blanking out. Oh, hang on. I found it. It's called... I actually can't remember what it's called, but you know when you tell a dry joke or something and a little thing of dust rolls past?
Oh, tumbleweed.
A tumbleweed. Yes, I couldn't for the life of me remember what that word was.
For a second, I was going to be like a savannah glass. You know?
Those watching the podcast video feed, if you scrub back a minute, just look at my blank expression because I'm like... I'm trying to Google this on the side and listen to you and be very aware and present. And then I'm still like, what the hell
tumbleweed.
Is that thing called? I like literally Google like ball of dust.
Ball of dust. Like, did something cool come up? Like Goku doing a Kamehameha with a ball of dust.
Definitely not. So here we
go. Joburg in the summer and it's him just like throwing dust at people. That's what it does feel like, Jesus. I feel like I walk out my door and someone's waiting there just with a handful of dust and it's like, just like, try this.
Oh, there we go. This is today's team. You've got the sun in the sky and a tumbleweed blowing past.
You need to get John Marston, the little cowboy from Red Dead, and just put him there. That's what we all feel
Red,
like.
John Marston. Marston. I can
Have you
this,
never
right?
played Red Dead Redemption?
Never played Red Dead Redemption.
It's a bummer. It makes me so sad that because the GTA trilogy remasters did so poorly because they were fucking shit. That they kind of like canned the remaster for Red Dead Redemption because that game to date is the only Rockstar game I've actually enjoyed. Because I don't vibe with the GTAs. I think I'm not saying they're bad games. I just do not enjoy their open world structure. And Red Dead Redemption 2, I've been meaning to play again, but I found it way too slow. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
He's
hello.
A good cowboy.
But the first Red Dead Redemption, I remember at the time, I was like very, like, why would anyone want to play a cowboy game in this day and age? And then I got it because, like, reviews were so good. And I was like, this game fucking rules. It is so cool. And it's so sad, like the story and game's great.
Good time.
There is a quest
there.
There is a quest where you can find the four horses of the apocalypse and ride them.
What?
So, yeah, it's pretty good.
That's cool.
Pretty. Oh, no, sorry. That was part of the expansion, the Undead Nightmare expansion. which makes more sense because there were zombies and, you know, supernatural shit. So yeah, that makes more sense. But it was rad.
That sounded like a fun expansion. I'm surprised they haven't done anything like it for Red Dead Redemption 2.
And it was like standalone. You could just buy that and play that. Yeah, it was so good. It. Yeah. It was great because it was like 10 hours. So it was quite condensed.
It was like quite a condensed.
Yeah, but you had access to the whole world. So, yeah.
You know what every cowboy needs, even in the zombie apocalypse? Oh,
dear God, what now? What a beautiful steed.
Hang on, I'm just going to reorder this here quickly.
My God, are you trying to do like a math equation? Cowboy plus horse equals tumbleweed.
You're lucky I'm not taking this further and doing nonsense like this where I rotate him, like put him on the... Okay, I'm done. Audio, so audio listeners, we've got a John Marston, a cartoon pony, a tumbleweed,
cartoon
and a
steed, and a tumbleweed. Scene. Yeah, and the sun just absolutely annihilating,
just
them.
Melting everything.
I'm surprised you didn't get something from Mad Max because it really does feel like that.
Oh my God, it does feel like that.
Like shiny and but chrome. Witness me. Have you seen Fury Road?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Good.
What a film! Like there was.
I watched that.
Did you watch it at the cinema?
No, I watched it on the worst place you can watch a movie.
Oh, no. On the plane?
On a plane.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What a travesty. What an absolute travesty.
Even yeah, like, I'm okay with watching things on, like, an iPad with earphones, whatever. Yeah. Or, you know,
well,
I know.
It's an actual good screen, an
cinemas,
iPad.
Yeah, cinema's the best place, hands down. Like, to watch a movie, pay the money, you get the... Big screen experience, cool. Next best thing, a projector or TV, okay?
Yeah.
But iPad's cool. You know, you can sit in bed, chill, have earphones in, still have like a good audio experience. Those flight movies, that's just the time when I'm like, oh, here's a movie I missed. I probably will never get around to watching elsewhere. I'm just going to watch it here. But I acknowledge it's the worst.
They're
place.
Awful. They also, so especially bad. When it's a movie that's higher than like, an age rating of 13, they always edit it because they can't have like gratuitous violence playing because just now there's like an old tunny next to you and she's like, what the fuck is happening there?
I'm sure I've told this story before, but they also edit stuff out of movies to, you know, because you're on a plane. So you'll never watch a movie and see a plane crashing, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll never forget watching the second Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. Do you remember how that movie starts? Because that origin story is like, Uncle Ben.
His parents died in a plane crash.
His parents were actually like scientists and whatever. Yes. So that movie opens with his mom and dad on a plane, and the dad's like obviously done some very important research or something.
That origin story was absolute bullshit. It was just.
But
nonsense.
Then on that flight, it's like they die, they get murdered.
Yeah.
But I remember I watched that movie in cinema, then I watched it on the plane like a year later. They cut that whole scene out. You see them on the plane, and then you see like shit's about to go down, and then hard cut to the next scene.
Oh dear God!
So I'm like, if you've never seen this movie before, you're like,
you have no
context.
Peter's
parents?
What's happening?
Are they still in the plane?
Oh my God! You see, it's just the worst place to watch a movie. It's
and
awful.
Yeah, there was.
Awful.
I think there was something with the third Batman in Nolan's trilogy when Bane's
also
on
got
plane.
A plane scene. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that scene's
that's like
just
20 minutes
gone.
Of the first like
yeah,
scene. Like,
I have to believe that scene's just cut out. You just start the movie with Bane and Gotham. You're like, how did he get you? What's going on? Yeah, I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess they'd never show like the whole of Die Hard 2 couldn't be shown there. It's just
oh
like
my God, the whole
airport violence. Yeah, it's just like you could never actually show that. Or like what about Con Air? Would you ever show that on?
This is well, you know, have you ever climbed into an Uber with a TV screen in the back? Nor have I. But I like to believe that exists somewhere in the world. You can't watch Die Hard 3 in those.
Could you imagine?
You just can't. My goodness.
I was just looking up now, Mad Max. I remember this distinctly. I got the review copy for...
the game.
For The Witcher 3 on the same day that Mad Max came out here. So I remember picking up the game. I went to Megaron that day to like pick up a physical copy of the game. And then that evening went to watch Mad Max. And that's probably like one of the coolest like combo days ever. Because fuck that movie rules. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really good.
I'm very, very keen for
Is it a prequel?
Furiosa. If
or is it a sequel?
No, it's a prequel. A prequel about Charlize Theron's character, but Charlize Theron is not playing her. Anya Taylor-Joy is playing Furiosa.
Oh, so she's in place some cool. chess in the wasteland.
Yeah. I'm sure I've told you about the board game I found for Queen's Gambit in I was at Rosebank a while back and I like to peruse Hamleys for Lego.
Is it just chess?
No, that's the most confusing part. It's a board game that uses chess pieces that is not chess. And I was like, what? Like, just make it chess.
The easiest cash grab ever. Just slap the Queen's Gambit chess board.
It's like this bizarre board that is squares like a chess board. And you've got pieces that are chess pieces, but they move in completely different ways. And there's like a point system. And I was like,
oh my God.
Why the fuck? Why? This is so bizarre. Like, anyway.
It's crazy.
I was like quite visibly mad. Like, I was like just staring at this thing for 5 minutes, trying to understand in what world this makes sense. Like, could not.
My goodness.
Could not figure it out. Yeah, you know what else doesn't make sense? Video games.
I mean, half sometimes the time, make sense. You know, sometimes but, yeah. make sense.
Sometimes. So it's a bit weird. I'm in the process of playing something that I can't talk about yet. I don't know when
tell
I can.
Us what you're playing?
By next week. I don't know.
It's an upcoming release.
Yeah, it's an upcoming. That's your hint. Really. It's vague enough because Jesus, there's a lot. yeah. So I definitely can talk about it next week because it would have been out by then. So there's your hint. We want to play Street Fighter 6 beta this weekend, but we haven't yet. So.
Yeah, I just haven't had the chance. And I've seen people who have accessed have not been able to log on, or they've had weird experiences. I know, was it Jeff, I think, who
Jeff had some issues. But Darren said he got some games in. So
yeah, Vault's bigger Street Fighter fan, unable to play. Hate to see it.
Hate to see it.
So yeah, we'll probably talk about that next week as well. I just haven't had the chance to try it.
Because I think that's on today, tomorrow, and Monday.
Yeah.
So we definitely have a bunch of time to give it a go.
Yeah.
I need to give my stretchy arm guy impressions, you know.
And
yeah.
Well, speaking of a login issues, I've played very little. I've put a lot of time into playing not a lot of Overwatch 2. Which
the
much
anticipated sequel that released this week and was just an update for the first game.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Overwatch 1 came out in what, 2016, I think it was.
Which is wild
to me. It's been that long ago. 6 years ago, I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. 2016.
Oh my God, it was only 2016. Wow. I really thought it was like 2013, 14 around there. No. Wow.
Okay. Oh, you think it's older than that?
Yeah. Like, I thought it was older.
To me, it feels like Overwatch has simultaneously been around long, but not that as long as 6 years.
Sure, just to feels me, it's like it's been around forever. Then again, 2016, that means it was around for 6 years. That's a long time. It's half a decade. So
it won Game of the Year that year because
it did,
Overwatch 1 is a really great multiplayer shooter. Mm. I mean, I remember I played a lot of it in its heyday, you know, when it launched. And for some reason, I can't quite tell you why I just fell off. You know, a lot of balance changes have happened over the years. They've added new characters. So I think the last character I actually played in Overwatch 1 was when they added Orisa. So I've missed so much. Like, I've missed Doomfist, I've missed Brigitte, I've missed Ashe, I've missed Echo. Like, they've added a lot to the game since then. And then obviously with the launch of Overwatch 2, they've now added Junker Queen, Sojourn, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and Kimiko, Kuriko?
Yeah, I think good it's Lord, Kimiko. That's the newest one, yeah.
Yeah, but so if you're wondering why I'm like, oh, I've hardly played Overwatch, just because the launch has been an absolute shit show. Like, sorry. It's been real sad to see Blizzard, who are the company behind World of Warcraft and all these big online games, have arguably one of the most awful launches in recent history. Like, I'm talking, you launch the game, you get slapped into a queue, and you'll literally wait an hour, if not two, to get into the game. And if you're like me, on Thursday, I got into Overwatch after waiting for like maybe an hour. Played, oh, look at that cattail.
I know, it's just walking it's on so my glorious. Desk. Yeah,
I got in after like an hour. My friends who were in were playing a match. I just joined a deathmatch to wait for them. Played a bit of a deathmatch, got kicked out, got put in the back of the queue again.
Lovely.
Not a good time. It is the worst. You know, being kicked out after having just gotten in.
So how many hours collectively do you think you've actually like played?
I've probably played like an hour and a half. So
and you tried two whole evenings to stream it.
I'm talking literally like I've been in the queue for maybe 3-4 hours and I've only played an hour and a half. So when I say the launch has been absolutely dismal, like I acknowledge it's a new game. Overwatch 2 is now free to play. So there's a lot of excitement for it. But come on, like it's Blizzard. It's not some second rate studio who like when I say Blizzard should know a thing or two about servers, I'm like it's the World of Warcraft people. Like they
know. Yeah.
You know?
They did say they were DDoSed, which sure. I mean,
maybe
DDoSing is a complex thing, and if it was in fact what happened, like they can't super prevent it like very well. Mm. But yeah, I don't think they were DDoS for 3 days in a row.
No, there's a thing for me being in, you know, the marketing industry, I'm just like that, give that PR team a raise, because if you didn't get DDoSed and you know you're just having server issues, that is the perfect like sorry, like we got DDoSed. Mm, we can't do anything about it. But all that said, like, okay, it's been an absolute shit show getting into a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very excited to play more Overwatch because, like I said, Overwatch 1, when it launched, was a great game. Still was over the years, obviously. I just fell off. Overwatch 2, calling it 2 is weird because it just feels like a big content update for the original game. So they've added those 3 new heroes, they've added a whole lot of maps, and there's been some balance changes. And like Overwatch is just fun. Like mm-hmm. I've had fun playing the games I have played, and I'm very excited to play more. So I'm hoping this coming week I'll put a lot more time into it and I can talk about it properly next
cool.
week. But I will say, like, just very quick impressions. The biggest change, I think, outside of the new heroes is that it's no longer 6v6. It is a 5v5 game now.
You had to get rid of a friend.
Legitimately, I feel very sorry for anyone who played Overwatch competitively and they were like, sorry, fam. We could only have 5 on the team now.
Like, we're gonna have to let you go. We need to have a talk. We chatted in and amongst ourselves and you are the weakest link.
You are the weakest link. So they cut a tank. So Overwatch is one of those games where it's been interesting to see it evolve over the years, because I remember when it launched, I even remember being fortunate enough to go to BlizzCon and like actually ask Jeff Kaplan about mm-hmm. this. When it launched, the whole mentality was you can compose teams however the hell you want. If you want 3 Pharahs and 2 Mercies, you can do that. But then the game launched, they're like, oh shit, like it's very difficult, I think, to balance that out. And, you know, it's a lot easier to just restrict people to one specific hero on a team.
Okay, so they're still doing that. Are they restricting the number of roles as well?
So yeah, that's what I'm getting to, is that eventually it became a thing of they implemented like role queue. So
yeah.
Teams were composed of 2 healers, 2 offense heroes, and then 2 tanks. So what they've done now is they've cut a tank from that 6-player composition, which actually has a pretty profound change on the way the game plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you remember back in the day, Overwatch, as much as I loved it, a lot of it came down to, okay, there's 2 tanks. We're just going to sit and keep shooting and reloading and shooting and reloading, and then hoping, you know, that a Tracer flanks or a Reaper gets in there, whatever.
Yeah, you'd always have a Reinhardt and then
just tank. Chilling with the shield. Yeah. And then, you know, you're just chipping away at it, but they being healed and, you know, so removing a tank has just changed that up quite a lot, because now you only have 1 tank on a team.
Mm.
And over and above that, it seems like one of my friends said this, I don't know how, you know, if this is an actual Blizzard quote, but apparently they're trying to steer away from having any form of formal shield in the game. Like they're literally trying to get them out of there. So for example, Orisa has no shield. Like, I don't know if they ever did, but there are now instead abilities that either like buff up their health or help them, you know, negate damage for a short amount of time.
Okay.
So it's less about you just chilling and standing in the middle shielding up your team. Like, are you there to help? You there to obviously soak up the damage, but it feels more intuitive. Like, you're more active. You're not just standing around. And also because there's one tank, it feels like there's a more emphasis on, you know, that one role on you need to be good at what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, situationally. But yeah, it's just changed the flow of the game and it's fun. Like, it feels different. It feels good. And I'm very keen to put more time into it if I can get into a damn queue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's free to play. So if you've always been on the fence about Overwatch, scared of committing the $40 or $60, whatever the price was for the game over the years, it is free to play. The only drawback, if you want to call it that, is that if you are new to the game, you have to gradually unlock heroes as you play. Start off with a limited pool. And I get why Blizzard are doing it. Like, their explanation is like, no, it's a way to, you know, ease new players into the game. But I feel that
it is a bit overwhelming, especially with the hero count now.
Then it's weird because one of my friends, Brad, has never played Overwatch. He joined the game, started with Lucio. Like, that's a great hero to learn.
Love that game, guy. Yeah.
Just being around you doing something.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But then one of the first heroes you unlocked is Genji, and we're like, it's a bit of a weird choice to give new players that hero.
Jesus, that is a, he's like one of the curve. Yeah,
he's like, Genji is one of those heroes where, like, cool, it's easy to understand how he works, but you really need to know the maps and the game to
Genji's all about effectively being super precise. Yeah.
Yeah, and like being, you know, having game awareness to get around the back and pick off. So, like, that's a bit weird. So, I don't know. It's a big question mark. But all that said, you can play the game. I think you unlock heroes at a pretty steady rate. You have to, I think the quote-unquote average of games you have to play to unlock all the heroes is, like, either 50 wins or 100 games in total. Mm-hmm. So, I think the idea is there is, like, you'll win 50 but lose 50. So, like, it's a pretty significant time investment. So if a game lasts 10 to 20 minutes, you're looking at 10 to 15 hours, which,
yeah,
you know,
it's quite,
not that bad.
Yeah, it's quite significant, I think.
If you don't want to do any of that, you can just cough up, I think it's $40 up front. So, cool.
Yeah. And you see, that's where, to me, the intentions of Blizzard fall away. Because if it's like, no, this is really to help new players, but you can just pay for that to go away.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, come on.
Yeah, and
we know
even the way the Battle Pass networks, it's questionable. I still think, and I mean, I'm not the only person who said that. I'm not the founder of this statement, but like, Fortnite and Apex have the Battle Pass down perfectly. Like, those game models, I think, are so good. I don't know why more people just don't follow that formula.
Yeah, especially Fortnite. Fortnite's one is so... I mean, I don't think it's easy because, like, Fortnite, I think, has a lot of people working on there so that they can produce the amount of content that, you know, makes their battle passes always feel consistently rewarding. And, you know, Halo Infinite ran into this exact problem. They attempted to replicate that model and they were like, cool, we have 100 levels on the battle pass. Oh my goodness, yeah. Cats. But then, like, half the shit in there was like, no one gave a crap. So it's not an easy problem to solve. Yeah.
But it's also, it's quite a difficult thing in Overwatch because, you know, in Apex, I get it. Heroes have different abilities, but it's not like a hero is going to be, like, I don't know quite how to phrase it, but you know what I mean? In Overwatch, if you playing against a team and you turn around and go, oh my God, we really could use a Mercy just to help us do X or Y or whatever. But then you've got a new person, your team is like, I don't have Mercy.
Yeah. Like, it sucks.
It's quite something. Oh, they've got this hero. We could really counter that with this hero. Oh,
I would think Mercy would be one of the starters because Mercy is like your stock standard.
No. So maybe that's a bad example. But you know what I mean? There are specific heroes you'll pick to go into a team. But because you might have a new friend playing with you and you're like, oh, well, we can't really compose our team.
Does the starting pool rotate?
No.
So who are the three starting heroes you get access to?
I have no idea, but I know it's a fixed linear progression of you unlock these heroes in a specific order.
Because if you had to pick three, which would you pick? I would probably say definitely Mercy. Probably
Soldier 76 is a starter.
Yeah, Soldier 76 is your DPS and Reinhardt.
I'd imagine, yeah, those are like the three. But you know what I mean? Like,
Soldier 76 more than, is basic. He's like point and shoot. Like,
yeah, I think there's more than three heroes, but my point still is like, you might want to pick a very specific hero to counter or fit into your team composition, but now because you're on a team with newbies, you just can't.
No, like, yeah, you've lost that flexibility. And then to me, that leads to a bunch of frustration because, like, then you're trying to learn the game, but you're trying to learn the game at a pace so that you unlock new people. But if you're also playing with other people, it's frustrating for them to play with you because they're at an immediate disadvantage because of your limited selection.
Exactly.
So then, like, to me, it just leads to you being like, cool, so the only logical way is to solo queue with other people with this limited restriction. But solo queuing is like the worst thing in Overwatch because the lack of communication completely breaks that game. So I don't know who it's actually teaching.
I don't know. That's a weird thing. But
then pay 700 Rand and make all your problems go away. So again, like, come on.
Yeah. All that said and done, the Overwatch experience is, I mean, it's obviously the most polished it's been now. It's been around for 6 years. And Overwatch 2 seriously is just a significant patch for the base game. Like, I know the PvE stuff is still to come, but the multiplayer itself is just, it's Overwatch 1 with some changes. So take from that what you will. It is fun though, and I'm very keen to actually get into some games. So we'll see.
Cool. Yeah, I'm keen for you to give it more of a go.
I will. But other than Overwatch, I stepped into my time machine. Let me just get
I love it when you go back and play games that are critically acclaimed, you know.
Well, as you may or may not know, there's a sequel to a pretty cool game coming out. So I'm just trying to get this damn footage up. A Plague Tale Innocence. So the sequel Requiem is coming out in 2 or so weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be on Game Pass.
And this is one of those games where, oh my God, this game was on Game Pass. I claimed it for free on Epic. I think it's been on PS Plus. I own it in several places. I just never made the time to play it. But with
they
the sequel,
really just wanted people to play this game, I think. Like, yeah.
But with the sequel around the corner, I thought, shit, like, I have to play it now because I do want to play the sequel. And I did. And to my surprise, not really to my surprise, because I know a lot of people have raved about this game, A Plague Tale Innocence is a real good game. And
it
I'm actually
rules, man. It's
pretty floored that this is done by a studio. I don't know who the studio is, but if this is like one of the first or one of the early games, like what a massive achievement. Like, the scope of this game is far bigger than I thought it was.
So it's not a studio's first game. It's done by Asobu Studio.
Yeah.
And published by Focus Entertainment.
It's not a AAA title. What other games have they done?
Well, they helped out on Flight Simulator, The Crew 2, Zoo Tycoon, Quantum Break, Recall. So they've been support studio on a bunch of things. I'm not sure if this was their first, like,
actual
we are leading this
game
sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I mean,
but
my point remains that it's this, for all intents and purposes, like, it's a bit rougher in certain places, but this feels like a proper AAA. Experience. Like, to me, I was completely blown away by this is a real good narrative. Like, there's a full story here. It's not a short, you know, some indie games will be, you know, super polished and really good, but then also really short. This is like a full 10 to 15 hour game with like voice dialogue throughout, proper story beats. I think I was just blown away by, I mean, let me just rewind. Like, A Plague Tale has been around since 2019. And I actually know very little. I knew very little about the game outside of, you know, it's got rats. Because, you know, it's set in a time when there was the Black Plague.
And I'm sure you got the, a lot of people like to compare it to The Last of Us. Like,
100%,
medieval The Last of Us, yeah.
Yeah, so Plague Tale is the story of two siblings, Amicia and Hugo de Roon, who at the start of the game are basically run out of their home by the Inquisition. And you soon learn that the Inquisition are after these two for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. And the candy coat to wrapping this whole story together is that there's a rat infestation plaguing these two. Everywhere they go, there's just hundreds of rats, thousands of rats, and they are just destroying everything. Mm. So gameplay itself is a combination of like some light walking simulator and just intense stealth gameplay. It's you sneaking around with the two of them and trying to figure out how to get past guards or the rats or both throughout the levels. And yeah, that Last of Us comparison comes in that. So if you're not watching the video footage, Amicia is like in her teens, I'd say. And then Hugo is a small boy. He's like 4, 5, I think he's 6. Like,
yeah, 6, yeah.
Very, very little. And, you know, most of the gameplay is you actually holding his hand and running through, you know, these environments and either telling him to stay or follow you or do things. Mm. So yeah, that Last of Us comparison is very on the nose because it is. It's these two people, one being led by an older, more experienced person looking out for the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just completely blown away by, I don't know what I expected of this game, but I did not expect this.
I thought it was, I played it beginning of this year or just late last year. And I found the same. I was like,
this, yeah,
yeah. I remember, you know, all the comparisons and everyone saying, oh, it's very good. It looks very good. I mean, the version we played is the one that they updated for newer consoles and PC. And it looks fantastic, I think.
It looks really good, yeah.
But yeah, I just thought, you know, it's got that comparison to The Last of Us. But at the same time, it's a bit different because Joel and to a certain extent, Ellie, in both games, they felt quite capable in combat. Amicia is not that. Amicia's got like a little sling that you can chuck rocks with, and eventually you get the ability to like, cool, you, if you hit someone in the head, they'll die. But even then, it's like if you take on like three people at once, you'll die because you just don't have enough time to line all the shots up.
Yeah.
So it is very much about like very clever stealth circumventing, and I found the stealth really good. Like, it is very much the linear stuff where it's like each little encounter is a small little puzzle that you need to solve that is a stealth puzzle. And there's things like you can see in the video here, you throw rocks at things to distract guards and then get past them and stuff. But it's still, it felt like I was thinking, you know, it's not just like, okay, do this, do that, do this, do that.
Yeah. And at certain parts, you'll find that it's almost like mini arenas. Like there are two or three ways to get through, which is just like a nice little touch. You know, it makes you feel like, oh, I actually have a choice of how I want to tackle this. Mm. All that said, though, I do find, like, I completely agree with you. It feels like you are solving puzzles, but I do think the game is super simple in that nothing, at no point did I go like, what the hell am I meant to do?
It's usually
like, glaringly obvious, like, oh, I need to, you know, hit that set of armor over there to get this guard to walk that way, and then I walk past. Like,
it's got a good balance. It's pretty,
it's pretty straightforward in that way.
I felt like it only really got complex at the end for certain reasons. There's certain story and mechanical reasons where your options in combat completely change. And then the complexity ramps up in a very satisfying way, I found. But yeah, for the most part, it is, you are, you know, Amicia is protecting Hugo as much as she can. And that means avoiding enemies as much as you can or using things around you to lure danger towards enemies. Like, I think the whole system of like taking out lights so that rats can come and eat guards is really clever. It reminds me a lot of that second act in Gears of War where you did that with light and those like flying creatures in the air.
I'll say like the puzzles are pretty straightforward, but the way they mix things up throughout the game, like you start off the game with, okay, you can just throw rocks. But very soon you start getting introduced to new mechanics or things of like, oh, now you can craft this thing, which, like an example, okay, you can only kill a guard if they're not wearing a helmet.
Yes.
However, you can craft this specific item that will let, you know, or it's almost like acid. You throw it at them, it forces them to take their helmet off. And then
I forgot you got different like weapon or like projectile types. Yeah.
And it's actually, it goes not deep, but there's like quite a lot. It's like, by the end of the game, it's like, damn, you can craft so much stuff here.
Like, you even, you really do get like a little workbench that you use to like upgrade your stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Even that, it's funny how this game, you don't really need that stuff, but you do have the option of like, okay, cool, here's a workbench. Do you want to be able to, you know, charge up your sling quicker? Do you want to have more ammunition? Do you want to be able to craft more ammo? Like, you do get choices, which it's just a nice touch. It's like RPG super light in that way, which is pretty neat. But yeah, this has definitely primed me for the sequel. I think, like, I'm excited for the sequel, but I'm very interested to see where they take it.
I'm curious because like this definitely felt story-wise, I think the story is very good. It punches really, really hard. There's some really hectic moments.
This sorry to interject. This game does not pull back its punches. Like, there are some very visceral and graphic things shown on screen and people die. It's like, it's quite unrelenting in that way, which even that also took me aback. It's like, oh my God, like,
but at the same time, it felt very wrapped up by the end, I thought. So, you know, I mean, I assume they did that because they weren't even sure if they were going to be making a sequel. But yeah, I'm curious to see where the sequel goes, because I feel like the trick that the game hides from you most of the game is now known. So what do they do in a sequel to kind of like... I'm not sure if they start off with that sort of thing and then it disappears. I'm trying to be as vague as possible. But it would be kind of shitty if it's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And then at the end of the game, it's like, oh, I can do this now again. I'll be like,
I almost feel, I mean, this is when we prediction hour. I almost feel like the flow of the game will almost be in reverse. That makes sense, where you can do a certain thing, but by the end you can no longer, or the puzzles you face are the opposite.
Almost like trying to find like a cure or something like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe. We'll That'd be quite interesting. Yeah.
You'll see.
I'm very, very excited for it. And I've like not actually watched a lot. I don't even think they've put out much to do with the sequel, just that it's like kind of out.
There was like the announcement or reveal trailer, and I think they've put out a short like 12-minute gameplay
thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to watch this because like I will just, you know, play it when it comes out. So
yeah. Jeff, cool. Blacktail Innocence. It's on every bloody platform, just about. I don't know if it's on Switch, but it's on old gen consoles. It's on new gen consoles. It was on Game Pass, no longer anymore, but I can't imagine it costing too much now. Worth playing, definitely. If you're looking for a 10 to maybe 15 hour, like, narrative driven,
it's quite palatable game, I think.
Yeah,
it's very good. And it doesn't take long to get super interesting.
No.
Yeah. Cool. Should we move on to game releases? Is that game releases?
Tis game.
Game releases. So we're looking at games out from today, 8th of October, up until the 15th, if I'm not mistaken. 14th. Need to learn to math. Oh my God. I need to scroll down so far in this list now.
Oh no.
8th of October till the 14th. Oh my goodness, there's so many.
There's a lot.
Oh my goodness, it just doesn't stop. Jeez. Okay, I'm gonna fly through these because this is a lot. No More Heroes 3 is coming to a bunch of other platforms now that it's no longer Switch exclusive. Nice. Coral Island, Steam Early Access, PC, October 11th. Super People, Steam Early Access, PC, October 11th. One More Gate. What? A Wakfu Legend?
Wakfu. Nice.
Steam Early Access PC, October 11th. Asterigos? Curse of the Stars? On a console and PC, October 11th. Time Melters. It's a pretty cool name.
Good name.
Steam Early Access PC, October 12th. Somber PC, October 12th. Stardeus, Steam Early Access, PC October 12th. Undecember. Undecember in October. Okay. PC, nice. Android, and iOS, October 12th. Unusual Findings coming to PC, consoles, and Switch, October 12th. Lego Brick Tales, PC, consoles, and Switch, October 12th. War Pips.
War Pips.
Imagine that was War Pups. That would have been cool.
Yeah. Better game.
Consoles and Switch, October 12th. A Hero's Rest, Steam Early Access, PC, October 12th. Stranded, Alien Dawn, Steam Early Access on PC, October 12th. Lost Eidolons, PC, October 13th. Paradise Marsh, PC, Xbox, and Switch, October 13th. The Eternal Cylinder. Okay.
No idea what that is.
Steam, new consoles, October 13th. Sunday Gold,
God, so much.
PC, October 13th. The Darkest Tales, consoles and PC and Switch, October 13th. Cultic PC, Cultic. October 13th. Oh, Jesus. Everything's just going to get lost in you. If you launch on October 12th or 13th, good luck to you. Like,
yeah, sure.
Trifox, PC, Xbox One and Switch, October 13th. Fueled Up, PC, PS4, Xbox One, October 13th. World Rally Championship Generations, consoles.
Just consoles, no PC.
Yeah, October 13th. NHL 23, I think that's ice skating.
Mm-hmm.
Consoles,
oh, hockey.
October 14th. Scorn coming to PC and Xbox Series X and S, October 14th.
Penis appreciation game.
HD Gaga penis appreciation game. I'm surprised it's not on older consoles. That's interesting.
Mm.
PGA Tour 2K23, PC consoles, October 14th. Dragon Ball The Breakers, PC, consoles, and Switch, October 14th.
Is that it? My goodness.
Yeah, you know, just a casual fucking like 30 games coming out. It's okay.
There we go. A Plague Tale Requiem, October 18th.
So that's the next Tuesday. So it's less than 2 weeks. Wow.
It's right around the corner.
Wow. Cool.
Oh my God, there's so much.
I know, there's so much. I'm not even going to look at the rest of the list because it stresses me out.
Gaming news.
Cool. Gaming news, you know, also there's quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of news this week.
What should we start with? What
does one open with, though? There's just too much.
I think we should start with the thing everyone's talking about, and that is how un-Mario-like Chris Pratt's voice is.
The Mario trailer. Let me just put this up here quickly. Ba-ba-ba.
I thought this trailer was cool.
I really like this trailer as well.
Yeah.
I think we had no idea what a Mario movie would look like. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And I think this set the tone, which was quite cool.
Yeah. I love the first 80% of it where it's just Bowser and his Koopa Kingdom attacking this like penguin kingdom. And I thought it was quite funny. Like, when the penguin is like, do you yield? It's fucking hilarious. I died off.
Like, oh my God.
And yeah, Jack Black's Bowser is on point. Just it sounds is incredible.
Perfect. It's so weird because when the cast was announced, like, I had no doubts about Jack Black. But hearing him speak, because you almost expect a Jack Black voice, obviously. But it sounds like it's hearing Bowser, but you can just hear it's Jack Black.
Yes.
It's really good. Super, super well cast, I'd say. And you only see him for like a minute, but yeah. That's too good. But yeah, Chris Pratt's Mario, on the other hand, it's been funny reading the discourse this week because I think he said, like, oh, I've put a lot of work into this. The accents I've got is unlike anything you've heard.
I mean, he's right. We've never heard Chris Pratt in the Mario universe before.
But for the most part, the dialogue you do hear from Mario is literally Chris Pratt, like, oh,
just
okay,
being
I'm Mario.
Fucking Chris Pratt.
And then there's one line where you can hear like an Italian twang, like just a hint
awful.
Of Italian. Yeah,
it's
oh
just
God, what happened to your face?
Oh no, I'm frozen.
How did this happen? There you go.
I thought, is it Keegan-Michael Key?
As Toad
is also phenomenal. Also, Yeah, very, also very really good. Yeah, it's like this trailer seems fantastic. It's just Chris Pratt sounds shit. Like, I'm sorry. Like, people are like, oh, it's entirely inoffensive and whatever. Yeah, it's entirely inoffensive, but it's also like,
it is.
When you compare it to Bowser and Toad, like, there's work being done there. Chris Pratt's just exactly. like, nah.
He's just doing his thing.
Yeah. You know? And to then be like, oh, it's unlike anything you've ever heard. It's just like, come on, dude.
It's.
Anyway,
it's laughable.
The movie looks pretty great. April.
March or April next year.
I think March or April. It was meant to be out this holiday, but got delayed. This movie is going to make a stupid amount of money. Like, It's definitely not going to be a problem for Nintendo, and it's going to lead to bigger things, I think. So,
I was thinking, like, the chances of a Mario game tying into this, I think, are pretty high. I could be wrong, but
it's kind of wild we haven't had a mainline Mario game since Odyssey.
But it makes me think that they're working on something to tie into this movie somehow. I mean, I don't know. That would make sense to me. But
even if it's not like an adaptation of the movie's story, which I think would be a bad idea. Just something that
just
you can buy.
A Mario game.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that would be smart. And Nintendo's done that in the past. They've held games for like years to wait to launch them at the correct time. So
yeah.
Should talk about all this new CD Projekt Red stuff.
Oh boy, there's a lot.
Yeah, so basically
coming out from the studio.
Polish studio CD Projekt Red gave an outlook on kind of what they are working on for the foreseeable future, and it turns out they are committing hard to The Witcher and Cyberpunk and a new IP, which they have not announced yet. So the sort of like broad strokes of this is that the Polish studio, their current focus is a new Witcher trilogy, which the first game will come out no earlier than 2025, it seems.
Yep.
And their plan is to have the entire trilogy wrapped within 6 years of that, so by 2031, which seems ambitious to me. But
that is super ambitious.
Yeah. But it's not the only Witcher game in development. The Molasses Flood, the creators of In the Flame and the Flood, they are working on their own sort of Witcher game. And there's another third-party studio, which wasn't disclosed, also working on another Witcher game. Obviously, these don't mean Witcher RPGs, because when you think of Witcher games, you think of like Gwent or Thronebreaker or, you know, smaller projects. For Cyberpunk, you've then got Phantom Liberty, which is the expansion coming for 2077
next
year.
Metal Gear Solid 5. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Liberty. And then they are going to be working on a sequel to Cyberpunk 2077. This is taking place at CD Projekt Red's new Los Angeles studio. So apparently a lot of the team leads there are actually moving to the US to lead this there. So I don't know whether this means this gets developed in parallel with the new Witcher trilogy, but they did specifically mention the Witcher stuff is what will be first to come out. And then beyond that, there is a brand new IP, which is basically just them saying, yeah, brand new IP.
Just doing a thing.
Yeah.
So much in the pipeline for this studio, which is exciting. Like, I do like CD Projekt Red. I think it's a shame their good name got tarnished by Cyberpunk, Cyberpunk's rocky launch. But I think they have since redeemed themselves. I mean, at the end of the day, Cyberpunk is still like a good game. It's a lot better today than it was at launch. I think a lot of people are now diving into it because of Edge Runners, like we touched on last week. And like, I know in our group of friends alone, a lot of people have just now fallen in love with the game almost 2 years after launch. So see more work coming out of the studio and more Witcher stuff and Cyberpunk, like, very exciting. So I'm very curious to see what the new IP is.
I'm just reading here in the article written by good pal Darren Bernthas.
Oh my God, what a guy.
That in the CD Projekt Red briefing, they did state that they are starting a new parallel AAA development strategy. So they are working in parallel. So yeah, interesting. Interesting. Cool. Hopefully they never have to do what they did for Cyberpunk 2077 and crunch the hell out of devs.
That is a,
and
a good hard lesson learned.
I hope it was a hard lesson learned. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh God.
I for one, I'm keen. Like I'm keen for more Cyberpunk and more Witcher. I know a lot of people aren't. I can't get enough of, especially The Witcher. I love that universe. So yeah, more of that, please.
Yeah.
I guess we can touch on Overwatch 2 having a rough launch. We kind of spoke about this already.
They said they were DDoSed.
Yeah. They blamed DDoS attacks, which could be, but the fact that it's still ongoing, I'm not super sure about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, beyond that, there's been a whole bunch of issues with, like, people trying to merge accounts and progression not carrying over and this and that. And some people buying the $700 Watcher Edition and getting nothing. And so, yeah, there's a lot for Blizzard to put out here. And it's just, you know, for a game that needed a good launch because, hey, the kind of like consensus around the sequel en masse was like, why is this even required? It's just kind of not gone well. And that, I guess that sucks for a lot of the people who put a lot of time into this. So,
Yeah, it'll be fixed. But on that account merger thing, even that, it's wild. So like, good pal John Michael, has Overwatch, played Overwatch 1 on PC, but also played a lot on PlayStation. More so on PlayStation than PC. He has not got like any of his cosmetics from the base game. And if you merge your account, you get added to a queue. I think they're doing it manually for some other reason. And you can see what number you are in that queue, and he is number 330,000, or he was.
330,000.
Yeah. So whether he'll get all his stuff remains to be seen, but good Lord, that seems like an admin nightmare for Blizzard.
Good luck to them. I don't
know what's going on.
What do you want to look at next?
Suppose there were quite a few trailers and things shown this week, so we can fly through them relatively quickly.
We're going to look at Dead Space first.
Dead Space.
Oh, wow. All three of these trailers are EA games. How's that?
I did not make that connection, but yeah. So if you don't know, Dead Space, good horror game that came out about 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, no more.
If not more.
More. I think the first one was 2000. I don't know why your camera
keeps freezing. That's hilarious.
The first one was 2008?
Yeah.
Dead Space.
Oh, so yeah, it's
2011. Yeah, no, that can't be right, so because the sequel came out in 2011. Oh, 2008. Yeah, I was right.
Okay, so OG Dead Space, but 14 years old, just about now, getting a proper remake. And it looks real good.
It looks
fucking
Dead
Space on the PlayStation 3, where I played it, looked good. Lighting was great, but now, if you think two generations on, oh my God, this game is going to sing on current gen hardware.
I'll be real. I saw comparisons between old and new, and it's, in some cases, like, okay, it's very clear to see which is the new one. Mm. But in a lot of cases, it's like, wow, this is a lot closer than I thought it would be. And it just shows you like
how the aesthetic. Back then,
yeah, the aesthetic just holds up so well. But yeah, I mean, from a gameplay perspective, this is a big remake because like, the first game never had free motion in zero G. You could only jump between points. The later games had free motion, so they've kind of added that here, which means a lot of puzzles had to be redesigned. Isaac Clarke talks now in this one. He was completely mute in the first one. And they've said that this one is an entirely single camera cut, which was not the case for the first game. So
that is awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of work being done. This is a proper ground up remake, and I fucking love Dead Space. So
this is one of those things where I'm very excited to play, but I'm also like, oh God.
Again, the first Dead Space is proper terrifying.
Dead Space is one of the two
and three were more actiony. They were still scary in their own right, but Dead Space 1 is unnerving. It is
one of
really
the scariest
good.
Games I've played.
Really good sound design.
Yeah. Oh my.
Exceptional.
That's something.
I hope it lives up to that, you know, because that's always the danger with remaking something that's so well-renowned and, you know, regarded. It's, you know, you can mess something up quite easily. So it's not just this is a visual thing. But yeah, I have faith. Motiv is a good studio, so I think they'll do a good job.
In other trailers, this one was, I mean, I think we kind of knew this was coming anyway, but it was quite something to see the new Need for Speed trailer.
Yeah, this thing looks cool, man.
It looks real cool. There's something. So if you're watching the video feed, you're watching the trailer, there are, it's like it almost looks like live action, but you know, these people have been painted, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's a very Japanese anime style, but its own distinct kind of style as well. Like very tuna era, like graffiti style to it almost.
Yeah. But if you've watched Street Fighter 6 gameplay, this reminds me so much of that. Of in Street Fighter, you know, you land a punch and then like paint splashes out.
I didn't even put that together, but yeah, you're very right.
Now,
yeah.
This Need for Speed, it has that thing of the style. It almost looks kind of cel-shaded, but it's not.
Yeah.
But in the races themselves, it looks like there's graffiti that like splashes onto the screen. It's very cool.
Like you've got the like tire smoke that is like very cartoony from your car.
Noel actually mentioned at the office this week. It's funny how all these years later, it feels like a lot of people are catching up with what Into the Spider-Verse did. With
this
I don't know, like these bright, punchy colors. And it does make me think, if we've got Street Fighter 6 and our Need for Speed, are we just going to see this trend of this style of game for like the next year or two?
That's actually a really good comparison, because like looking at the footage now, it almost looks like the graffiti elements run at like a different frame rate to the rest of the game, which is exactly what Into the Spider-Verse did. So that's a good pull. Did we say the name for this game? Need for Speed Unbound.
Unbound.
Unbound. It's December 2nd.
my God.
It's like out in less than 2 months. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And it is
funny because
I'm
keen to see proper gameplay, because I don't know how much of that was like, you know,
cinematic.
Yeah. Or like realistic of what you'll actually see when you're playing the game. So
if the gameplay looks like that, though, that is very cool.
It's the most interesting Need for Speed in a decade.
since Underground, still the best Need for Speed game.
With that Snoop Dogg track that kicks in at the beginning.
Oh God, that is still one of the most iconic soundtracks. I think everyone will recognize
Underground
that,
and Underground 2. Oh my, what great real game. Good. I will say though, that if you want to play a really good game, and they've remastered it recently, a really good Need for Speed, I think it came out in 2011. It was the same year as Portal 2. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. That they at the time was like a remake or reintroduction of Hot Pursuit.
Reintroduction.
And now they've remastered it. That game fucking rules. Like it's so good. So
that's cool.
I think that's the last time I had a lot of fun with Need for Speed, to be honest.
Yeah. And then in the last slew of EA news, we have, so Wild Hearts was revealed,
I think a week prior. I think we spoke about it last week. Yeah.
We spoke about it. Now we've got actual gameplay footage.
It looks
interesting.
Good.
It's one of those things where, so this is me obviously nitpicking because I'm now a big Monster Hunter fan. It's one of the things where I'm like, it looks interesting, but how does it feel to play it?
Let's go.
Like,
look at that Breath of the Wildness in there.
It's, yeah. Breath of the Wild introduces the glider, and every other game has to have some.
Exactly. Can't wait for Ghost of Tsushima 2 to have a glider.
Oh my God, I would not be surprised. I mean, Horizon... Forbidden West had its own glider.
Yeah.
Very necessary.
Which made no sense. It was just energy. It's not catching fucking energy. Air. What's it doing?
So visually, I think this game looks gorgeous. I do like the style it's going for. And in terms of, you know, how they sort of, not reinventing, but adding their own flair to this sort of genre of Monster Hunter, monster hunting games, is that, you know, it is very much an old school warrior who's like wielding a katana, for example, but there's this cool technological spin where you're using, like, I don't know if they explain what it is, but you're using these tools, very futuristic things, to, you know, navigate the map, to glide, to do cool moves, that sort of thing.
Even just like do a double jump there, you like threw a panel below you and then did a double jump. Yeah,
but then like I see the combat and I'm like, I hope it feels good. Like it looks okay, it still looks a little bit rough to me. But I hope it is as fun to play as it looks, because it does look good.
What I do like is that, we'll see. I mean, again, you'd only really know once you get your hands on it, but it does look like you have to do some attacks back off, some attacks back off. It doesn't look like a Musou game, which, you know, considering it's Koei Tecmo developing it. It could have easily just happened, you know.
It's a bit different to their usual fare. Oh, that poor person just got run over.
It looks fun though. I think the whole building element's going to really come down into. I think that's going to be your gear. Like that's what you're going to choose. Like what to take on a hunt. Saw there, he did some fire attacks and then he was placing some traps. So I think that's going to be the preparation part. And, you know, like you would know, preparation is everything in a Monster Hunter game. So, you know, so it looks good. It looks really good. I think it looks beautiful. Yeah. As in, this would not run on Switch. Beautiful.
No, definitely not. That's not a Switch game. It might come to the cloud. You never know.
Yeah.
God,
I couldn't think of anything worse trying to play Monster Hunter via the cloud.
Oh my God. And then, yeah, last few pieces of news. The PlayStation 5 has been jailbroken. But as you told me before we started recording that you can load games onto your PS5 if you jailbreak it, but you cannot launch them.
Yeah,
so those dreams of playing things like PT.
Yeah, I was looking at this, and it was Lance McDonald, who's, you know, it's quite prolific in the Bloodborne community for, you know, unofficial patches that get it up to 60 FPS and all of that. He was showcasing this, and yeah, he jailbroke it, and he was able to download PT, but you can't launch it, so. Yeah, it only gives you read and write access, no execute access. So, but I mean, it's the first step, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does this not open up the door to, you know, keep tinkering away to maybe launching stuff? I don't know, but yeah, it is interesting that these things take time. Like, it's not like the PlayStation launches and then within a week it's just broken. I think it takes people a long time to figure out how to, know, get into the nitty gritty. But I don't know. In last pieces of news, I'm like dying to sneeze, but it's not coming. Excuse me. Kojima Productions confirms that Elle Fanning will feature in its next game. Everyone pretends to be shocked.
I mean, wasn't it kind of like presumed from the first teaser? Like someone
had, I think so,
did like a contrast negative on that thing and figured out it was her anyway. So
yeah.
It seems like there was a producer who changed their or reshared that thing with the hashtag Death Stranding 2. So like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Death Stranding 2.
I think the argument, well, not the argument, but the question was whether this was Death Stranding 2 or the cloud game that he's making for Microsoft. So
yeah,
guess it's Death Stranding 2.
But I feel Death Stranding 2 is a lot closer.
Yes,
so
I would
make
assume
more
so.
Sense
yeah.
there.
I think that's definitely coming out before the cloud game. I would not be surprised if it gets revealed at the Game Awards and comes out like next year. Because when did Death Stranding come out? 2020?
It's a few years ago now though, yeah. No, I think it's 2019 even. It was like quite a while ago.
Death Stranding, yeah, 2019.
Maybe it's
is 4 years.
It seems
and it was a long time between announce and release of the first one, but he was also building a studio, you know, so it's a completely different ball game now. So 4 years, I think, yeah.
On that, have you listened to Kojima's new podcast?
I have not given it a go yet. Have you tried it?
It's great.
I need to give it a go.
But it's funny because the whole thing is like, you know, brain structure. We dive into the brain of Hideo Kojima and how does he come up with his ideas. And the first episode is very interesting.
Is it all translated? Sorry to like interrupt.
You can listen straight up in Japanese or there's like an English dubbed version where you hear him speak and obviously somebody's like translating over him.
Okay, got you. Okay.
It's quite cool. But it's funny because the first episode is like it introduces a podcast and he touches about on how his history and how Metal Gear came to be, whatever. Like, cool, that's pretty interesting. Episode 2 is straight up, he's like, yeah, I watched Nope. Really love this movie. And he spends the full half an hour just talking about this movie. And I was like,
His podcast is basically his tweets, like a tweet longer. Yeah, but
I was like, okay, like you mark, and I guess you could be like, okay, like I understand why Kojima does certain things, because obviously like he loves this sort of genre movie and explains like his history, but it's just so left field from first episode of like, this is how Metal Gear came to be too. I watched Nope and I really liked it, and like it's just him rambling about it. And then episode 3 and 4, it's him with a Japanese anime director whose name I cannot recall. It's just them like old friends catching up, talking about like producing and just their history. And then episode 5, he's got Jordan Peele, the director of Nope.
Oh, okay. He's so he's back on Nope.
But it's so, I was like, this is so strange. And it's funny though, because like, not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's like every episode's like brain structure. We dive into Hideo Kojima's brain and how he comes up with these ideas. It's like on this episode, we talk to Jordan Peele and it's them going, Jordan Peele's like, hey man, like I listened to your podcast that you watched Nope. I was like very touched by it because like, I'm a huge fan of yours. And it's just them complimenting each other. It's like the whole time, like, I love your work. No, I love your work. And it's like, okay. Worth listening to though. Would recommend. I love Kojima. It's like the most Kojima thing though. I'm like, of course this is what the podcast is.
I need to listen to it. I really need to listen to it.
And the episodes are short. They're like 25, 30 minutes each. Okay, but sorry. Kojima's working on Death Stranding 2 and podcasting between all of this. Last piece of news, which is pretty exciting. You no longer need a reservation to buy a Steam Deck.
I think this is coming.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, the manner in which like reservations, Valve kept saying, oh, we've, you know, got orders out quicker than possible, you know, this, that. Mm. So yeah, now you don't need to wait in a queue. As soon as you order, it will, you know, 1 or 2 days later, it will ship, which is rad. And I hope with this stock backlog now, or, you know, buffer, they can maybe expand to new regions or focus on that, because now the focus isn't on like, God, we need to keep up for demand, you know, whatever. Mm. And I think a lot of this is, you know, also semiconductor production ramping way up this year. Yeah. So but that's cool. The docking station is coming out too, which is pretty neat. It's not like the Switch dock, which, you know, plugs it into power and gives it more power and stuff like that. This is literally just it's a dock that you can put it on, and then you can connect like Ethernet and USB and display out, so you can use it on a monitor. It would be cool. Yeah, like as a portable PC, like if I want to, because I don't think playing the Steam Deck works when you're playing games at its native 720p. That's what it's designed for. As soon as you try and play games at 1440p or even 1080p, it starts like, it's not coping with it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think a dock would be quite useful for like, oh, you know, if I want to have my desktop at my TV, or I don't have a desktop, but I want a PC that can do like pretty light word processing, I can use the Steam Deck. Oh, thanks for sneezing on me, Toby. Sorry. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know what the dock costs, because every time I go to Steam, it's like, this isn't available in your region. And I'm like, okay, well, I just want to see the fucking price. Like,
I just want to see the price, man.
I'm pretty sure it's expensive, because these sorts of docks are not cheap. I would wager about $100. Like,
and you'd need a controller to go with it.
Yeah, well then, well yeah, you can plug in like a mouse and keyboard or a controller. Yeah,
it is interesting. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I have zero context on how hardware actually works, but it is interesting that it doesn't add any juice to the Steam Deck. Like, if it upscaled to 1080, you know, gave it just a little bit of extra processing power.
I think because Valve is like so keenly tuned the performance of. The thing is, it's a PC, it's not a Switch. The Switch, as soon as you unplug it, it goes into like a lower power operating mode for battery life. The deck is like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, you can set the power limit of your thing to the max or 50%, and that will affect battery life. So I think that's why it doesn't give it any extra juice. Because you can push it to its max already. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, there we go. That's all the gaming news this week.
We're moving on to questions. If you would like to send us a question, you can email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on our social platforms at checkpointchat. chat. What is on the docket for this week?
Check. It's nothing on Twitter. There was nothing on Twitter when I checked this morning. There's nothing on Instagram when I checked this morning.
Let me just, hate to see it again.
Check. But we do have a question on Facebook of all platforms. Let me just pull it up quickly. And no emails.
On either. Mark Zuckerberg's no one's emailing. Website of choice.
No one's emailing the world's longest email in the world. So we actually got a question from Franco, from the Francos.
Is it? Wait, hold on. Franco Senior or Junior?
Junior.
Okay, no, junior. Jesus.
we had Franco Senior Messi, we're like, oh my God.
I would be very confused about that. I'd welcome it, but I'd be very confused.
So he says so much as, no, yeah, don't you think Sony and Jim Ryan are throwing the name away by trying so hard to stop the Blizzard acquisition? It shows lack of confidence and fear. Brazil just endorsed the deal. Others will follow. It'll definitely go through no matter how much Sony try.
Yes and no. I think they have to. They have to do it. Like, they are absolutely not going to just sit on their hands and not do anything.
Mm.
They have to. I think, you know, deep down, they know this deal's going through. But as any sort of competitor, they need to throw it out there and be like, try their best to not make it go through, because it does. It negatively affects their business. No matter which way you look at it.
Even just the Call of Duty alone, like, forget Blizzard and all of that, like, just that title,
huge.
Not having that, you know, be home on PlayStation is something.
In a way, they forced Microsoft, well, I don't know if they forced it or Microsoft did it because, hey, this is how the deal gets over the line, but, like, their kind of shouting led to Microsoft coming out and be like, we made a deal. Like, Call of Duty is going to be on Sony for at least 3 years and probably beyond that. So,
yeah, I'll still stick to my guns here and say that I don't see Call of Duty ever becoming an Xbox exclusive.
Like, yeah, I was of the opinion it would, but I tend to agree with you.
It doesn't make sense. Like, I think Microsoft are in such a good position here where they can 100% just have Call of Duty on Game Pass. It's there. And if you want to play it on PlayStation, that's cool. It's going to cost you. That's, and that money just goes straight to Microsoft.
And that's what Sony's arguing about. They really don't like that, because it's not the fact that it's going to be on PlayStation. It's the fact that it's going to devalue their platform because it's more expensive. And in my opinion, that's a Sony problem. That is absolutely 100%. Your problem to solve. That is not Microsoft's problem. Because Microsoft could come in and be like, hey, Gears of War is multi-platform, but it's free on Xbox. It's like, again, it's a Sony problem. Like,
it would be a big dick move, though, for Sony to be like, we'll give you Bloodborne, put on Game Pass.
It seems Sony doesn't actually even fully understand what's happening here. Like, if you read... I don't know if it was last week or this week. We didn't include it in news, but Herman Hulse gave a bunch of interviews and he was talking about their PC strategy. And they're like, yeah, our strategy is for live service exclusives to simultaneously launch on PlayStation and PC. But for single player exclusives, it's going to be a year apart. I'm like, why? It makes no sense. Like, you're missing the boat of like what people want and why Microsoft is like completely caning you in the strategy. Like,
but yeah, it's a weird choice, even just putting it like that, because...
And then on top of it, there's no service for those exclusives to exist on for you to just get access to them. It's just like...
Yeah. But I mean, like, if any Microsoft launch, I mean, outside of the very specific Age of Empires, which is PC only, like Forza Horizon 5 comes to Xbox and PC, like, it's okay to do that. I don't know why they... insistent on having this year gap where
I don't get
it. You'll just make more money if you put it on another platform. Like, it's fascinating watching all their big titles come to PC now, because it's finding brand new audiences.
Yeah.
Like God of War, and we've got the Uncharted collection coming out now, Uncharted's never been on PC.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people going, oh my God, like, finally I can play this game. I'll pay money to play this game.
Yeah, same with the Sackboy. Like, Sackboy's not even a big game.
Sackboy's also coming to PC, yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand. It's do they think it devalues their PlayStation 5? Like, in my opinion, you know, maybe they have data that suggests otherwise, but in my opinion, like, the number of people that have a PS5 and a PC is tiny.
It's teeny tiny.
The number of people that own a PlayStation and an Xbox is tiny when compared to the majority of the market. Everyone invests in one platform because that's how most people game. So to release them on both at the same time isn't going to be like, oh, well, we could have actually got two sales because some PS5 people also buy it on PC. Those people will eventually do the same thing. Like,
and I like, can I'm, tell you,
like, if they release Spider-Man on both at the same time, would I probably buy it on PC down the line to see how it looked? Yep, probably. Like,
but you wouldn't pay it at, you wouldn't buy it at full price.
But I won't pay it at full price anyway. No. Like, I maybe there are a number of people that are doing that are like, we are double dipping and paying full price both times because there's a gap. But I still don't understand, you know, how small that minority is to justify the strategy. Like, I personally don't get it. Like, there's no reasoning that he gave that made sense as to why this makes sense. And then they go away from that strategy for live service because they need the player base, obviously. So yeah, I don't get it. Like, going back to the original question, I don't think they've destroyed their name, but I think they've definitely lost in the court of public opinion when it comes to this, because I don't see a lot of people. I do see it, but I don't see a lot of people siding with Sony and being like, Sony is right in this and Sony is fighting the fight for the people. They absolutely aren't, because they are out here arguing against exclusivity while pushing their own exclusivity. So it just makes them look stupid. Like, I think the same day that that whole thing from Jim Ryan came out where he's like, Call of Duty can never be exclusive, blah, 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 was the same day the beta was announced as a week exclusive on PlayStation. It's like, the fuck you guys doing? Like, come on.
Yeah.
So I get where they're coming from, but their timing and messaging around it has really not won them any like brownie points. So
I think it's also we've spoken about this at length like the last year or two. It's just weird how the decisions they make it's not like destroying the name, but it does make them look dumb.
Yeah.
We're like, come on, Sony. It seems so glaringly obvious to us, the consumers, to follow X route, but you just like refuse to do it.
Like,
and
like, as an example, there was a week or two ago, there was evidence that there's a brand new model of the PlayStation 5 out. You know, like a quiet revision, like they've done before. Everyone does it because as things get cheaper or they find more efficient ways of production, they change the internals, you know, and they just put a new model number on it. And on a teardown on that, it turns out that they had found a more efficient way to cool the PS5, so it actually uses less electricity. And the size of the heat sink is smaller because it doesn't need to be as large. So it costs less to produce. Which console went up by $50 in price? So they found a way to make the production cheaper, and those savings should have been passed on to the consumer, or at least offset any issues with currency.
Just don't change the price of the console then.
I don't know. Sony's weird at the moment. I'm not vibing with a lot of what they're doing, and I think their games are still phenomenal, and that's down to their studios, but their business decisions are just terrible.
Very much of PS3 days.
It very much feels like a PS3 Sony.
Like, really came out swinging, like, we're Sony, we don't give a shit.
That's 100%. They're like, we dominated that last gen, we can do fucking anything. And to a degree, the only thing that has kept them going is the quality of their exclusives. Like, their exclusives keep hitting and they keep being good. But, you know, whereas in the PS3 era, their exclusives were non-existent at the beginning of that era. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, there we go.
Thanks for the question.
See you for pizza real soon.
Man, I went there the other day and I felt real bad because I got there and it was all booked out and Frank Jr. looked very sad. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I felt bad because I was like, oh,
you have to book.
It's my fault.
You just have to book.
Yeah.
I tried, but I did try the calzone and your recommendation. Real good.
Pretty good.
Which one did you try? Did you try the one with sausage and spinach?
Yeah. It's spinach. The one that's on the menu. Isn't there only one on the menu?
There's two. There's one with ham and cheese, and there's one with like cheese.
Oh, fuck. How did I miss that one?
Spinach.
Okay. I definitely got the one with spinach. It was very good.
But can you order any pizza into a calzone?
I do not know. It does not say. So next time because I go,
I'm going to ask next time. I want to order like my favorite pizza,
Diavola in a calzone,
or even that banger. Chicken feta and
Or just the pizza salsiccia in a calzone.
Oh my god! Imagine.
Yo.
I will say though that having a pizza,
just
I have the restraint
to like, in the calzone. Just do it.
I have the restraint to have half a pizza and save the other half for the next day. That calzone I got half is like, man, I got to finish this.
Yeah, no, like, I don't think it would be as good the next day. Yeah, I think another pizza. Yeah, but last time I went with you ate a whole pizza. You didn't eat half of that thing. You're lying to yourself.
No, I think, look, it depends. If the next day I know, like, I don't have lunch or it's a work day or whatever. But if it's the weekend, I'm like, no, I'm going to lunch at my mom tomorrow. I'm not going to have this leftover, so I'm just going to smash it.
I'm very glad you introduced me to the salad, the house salad.
Oh, God,
very
that good. Salad.
Pretty real fucking good. Great. Yeah, do enjoy it.
There we go.
But yeah, that's episode 202. As always, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Thanks for all the questions. Hopefully there's more next time. Well, if there's not, there's not. I don't need to force people to ask questions. No. Ask them when you have a good thing to ask, like Frank Jr. And we will see you next week on the Checkpoint Chat podcast. Have a great week. Matthew, don't melt in the sun
while it lasts.
Yeah, enjoy the power while it lasts. And we'll be back next time. Okay, bye.
Let me just clean the slate here for the next episode. Hang on,
for next time. Okay, now we can say bye. Goodbye. Okay, bye.
Bye.